You're listening to Rockers in Recovery Radio. If you'd like to find out more information, go to rockersinrecovery.com or Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Hey, hey, John Hollis here. Want to welcome everybody to the show. We are live, and Rockers in Recovery Media is dedicated to carrying a message of addiction recovery education through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober community. We have a great show in store for you today. We have a gentleman calling in from California. His name is Ben, and he's going to be talking treatment and recovery, and he is also the CEO of Phoenix Rising. We're going to get Ben on the phone. He's going to tell us all about that. Ben, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, John?
All right. It's morning for you out there in sunny California.
Yes, it is morning. Sorry, afternoon for you.
Well, I wanted to first of all say that, I want to appreciate, the fact that you guys are supporting Rockers and Recovery and the message that we carry, the educational message that we carry. But most importantly, I want to talk about 26 years in recovery. How'd you do it?
I don't think you have enough time in the show for that long version. But yeah, I mean, going to meetings, working with your sponsor, working with newcomers, working the steps, the traditions. I still do the exact same thing I was told to do 27 years ago when I first got sober at 20.
Wow.
There's been a lot that's happened in my 27 years of being in this program, but I think the one thing that's always consistent and steady is the program, and that's, meetings and sponsorship and steps and traditions and concepts and, all the everything that's combined in our great 12-step program. I still do till today. That has not changed. There might have been a lot of things that have changed, but that has been really consistent.
What is the vision of Phoenix Rising?
Well, I think, one of the reasons I've worked in my career, in my entire sobriety, I've worked for a treatment program, either from a sober living environment where I was a house manager, lived at the sober living for a couple of years. I know what it's like to do that, to being a counselor. My entire sobriety, I've been involved in this industry of substance abuse, addiction, and treatment. And I've always worked for other people. And although, everybody that I've worked for or agencies I've worked for, the focus has always been about, caring for the clients and providing good quality care. I don't know if you've worked in the industry before, but we might start off that way and then eventually lose focus and the focus becomes on the business and on making money. And I've seen that happen throughout my entire career and, just got tired of it and working in executive positions to house manager positions and just got tired of seeing that happen. And the true focus of providing good quality care goes out the door. So when we started up Phoenix Rising, that was one of the commitments that me and my wife had made. My wife is a psychologist and licensed marriage and family therapist and also our clinical director for the program. But that was one of the things that we wanted to make sure that didn't interfere with the term quality care when we provided services to the clients that are coming to Phoenix Rising. So I've had great experience. A lot of my education, matter of fact, all of my education, my bachelor's, my master's, and finishing on my doctorate, all in management and business management. At about 10 years of sobriety, I wanted to grow and move up in the industry. And my sponsor had told me, he said, well, the only way you're going to do that is you got to go back to school and get some letters behind your name. But one of the things that I saw that was lacking was that care, that quality care, and then also the business side and kind of integrating the two and how do we make that work for someone that's running a drug treatment center. And that's what I spent all of my education focused on. A lot of the papers that I've written, a lot of the work that I had done was about learning how to integrate both the treatment side of things and the business side of things. So I think I've had, you know, great experience and support and education in finding that balance. And I think that's what we're doing here at Phoenix Rising.
Now, Phoenix Rising of California is located where?
In Ladera Ranch. It's kind of South Orange County. And we're just a small little program. I have about 16 clients in our program. Our group sizes are less than, you know, 8 per group. And my clients stay with me anywhere from 30 days to 6 months. And there's one that's staying longer. But we're there for the long haul.
Having fun in recovery. Do you express to your clients that, you know, they have to have fun in recovery and experience things in recovery to help them, you know, reacclimate to life?
Yeah, I think that's part of the transition. You know, coming from a detox residential facility where you're around staff 24/7, you're, you know, in a confined environment and all that kind of stuff. When they transition from that level of care into something like an IOP, like what we are, there's that transition of freedom where we're not there 24/7 watching over them and, you know, making sure that they're staying in line. That freedom gives them an opportunity to connect with the people that hopefully they've connected with in meetings and sponsorship and getting a sponsor and working with a sponsor. And then, you know, doing things. I mean, Southern California is a great place to do all kinds of activities. There's theme parks here. There's the beach. There's free activities. There's paid activity. I mean, there's just so much to do here. And we take them a couple of times a month to do various types of activities in the community, from bowling to movies to beach to, you know, whatever it might be. But planning those types of activities and getting them involved in having fun in sobriety, and that, you know, we're not just a glum lot.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I thought it was a death sentence when I came in, you know.
Yeah, me too.
You know, so,
funny
so later on
happened.
Down the Yeah, right. And it's funny, man, because later on down the road, it changes. The experiences change. You get to do some things in recovery that you thought you'd never do, you know. So that being said, we're at a point where we have across the country, and I want to get your opinion on this, across the country right now with the opioid epidemic and the heroin crisis that's going on, we're losing, you know, close to 200 people a day. You know, by overdose. And that's a lot of deaths per day. And it just gets getting worse and worse and worse. Are you seeing the same thing in the California area?
Yeah, I am seeing the majority of our clients that have come into our program are heroin addicts, opiate addicts. And in my short time that we have been open, I have already faced one death from a client that was with me for about 4 months, and he was from Louisville, and he had to go home to deal with some legal stuff, and they didn't want him staying out here any longer, and they pretty much forced him to go back to Louisville, his stomping ground, and face his legal consequences of his actions. And during that short period of time, within a week and a half, he was found dead in the bathroom. So yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it happen firsthand, not only in my own personal life and in my recovery life, but also here at Phoenix Rising in the short time that we've been around.
You know, Ben, it's heartbreaking because we're watching, you know, really young kids. And I mean, yeah, there's older adults that are, you know, are having problems with the pill aspect of it, but the young kids are the ones that are really breaking my heart because they have, you know, they have no clue what they're really getting into. Some of them start out because of pain. Some of them are starting out because they think it's just fun. And it's just, you know, it's becoming a nightmare. What would your opinion be on how some of the things, do you think education is helping? I mean, what do you think can help the overall situation?
Well, I think, you know, there's been, you know, this whole, I think on the business side of things, I think us as a recovering person in recovery, doing what we can to give them the tools and skills necessary for them to live life. But a lot of the times, even the healthcare system isn't really supporting long-term care or even long-term, you know, aftercare, and dictating a lot of that stuff based on medical necessity. Well, life skills isn't medical necessity, but it's a skill that all of our patients lack, is how do I deal with life on life's terms without medicating, without using some kind of substance, without cutting themselves, without starving themselves and having a eating disorder, whatever it might be. The healthcare system or the insurance companies don't support, at least for me and what I'm seeing, our clients, where, you know, after 30 days, the insurance company says they're done. They don't meet medical necessity. They've been sober for 30, 60 days. That's enough. Now you need to drop them down to outpatient, and they only need to come and see you once a week and just do therapy sessions. And I'm like, that is not enough. Okay.
No.
These guys, just like my gentleman who had to go back, had 4 months of sobriety, had to go back to Louisville to deal with his legal issues. And we knew he wasn't ready. But that didn't matter. His insurance company had cut him off at 30 days, you know, and I still provided care even beyond what the insurance company was willing to pay. So I think the system, too, isn't really supporting. And I know there's a lot of people that are abusing the system, but for people who are not, or treatment centers that are not, that are doing the right thing, I think to penalize us for trying to help the people who are struggling with addiction is wrong.
You know, it's a great message, Ben, and I want to thank you for being on the show. Ken, if you want to get to know Ben, he's open to, you know, people reaching out to him. You can reach Ben at 949-463-8381. You can also go to phoenixrisingbehavioral.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
And, Ben, in closing, we are looking forward to, we have the educational festival and the meet and greet that's going to be happening. We're hoping you're going to make it out for it.
I hope so, too. I haven't planned that far ahead, but I'm hoping that, you know, things have just been so busy here. I hope I can make it out there.
Yeah, it would be great. We'd love to hear your message here in South Florida, too, and also, you know, just things like you just talked about. It's very important that people hear this, and we need to get this message out there. And we need to get your message out there. We are working with Ben out in California, and Ben is a great provider of services for addiction and treatment and recovery, because you got to have recovery afterwards. Right, Ben?
That's right. Thank you, John. I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Amen. You too. God bless. We'll talk soon. I'm going to have you guys back on next month, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Mama.
All right, guys. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for listening to the show here. We appreciate everything that our, you know, people are doing out there in the streets. May it be the musicians that come on and talk music and recovery, or the treatment providers that come on and talk treatment and recovery. This is a real simplistic process with this radio show. What we're trying to do is just educate people, as many as we can. So have a blessed day. We look forward to our next episode, which will be happening tonight. So talk soon, and we'll speak with you at later on this evening. Thank you.